My dearly beloved in Christ, we have just witnessed the beautiful ceremonies of the Easter Vigil. So much symbolism. The Paschal candle, a symbol of the risen Christ. And you know that when our Lord rose from the dead, even though his other wounds suffered during the Passion were gone, he retained the five wounds in his hands, feet, and side, symbolized by the nails with the wax, the red wax, in the candle. So again, the candle, a symbol of the risen Christ. And as the candle is brought into the dark church, Lumen Christi, the light of Christ, our Lord said, I am the light of the world, and truly he is. And the world indeed was sunk in darkness before our Lord came into the world to enlighten the world. And how fitting that we have that ceremony of the darkened church and the light, the flame on the candle, illuminating the church as our Lord is the light of the world. We then have lessons from the Old Testament reminding us that our Lord fulfilled all of the prophecies, that the entire Old Testament was a preparation for the promised Messiah. This is followed by the first half of the Litany of the Saints and then the beautiful blessing of the Easter water. The purpose of that blessing is to prepare the baptismal water. However, before the oils are poured in, some of the water, much of the water, is kept for the faithful to use to bless your homes. But that preparation of the baptismal water reminds us of the dignity, the excellence of this sacrament. Much of the liturgy of the Easter Vigil has to do with baptism. The second lesson from the Old Testament about how the chosen people were led by Moses out of Egypt and they came to the Red Sea and they were being pursued by the Egyptians. And Moses held up his rod, and the sea divided and they passed through on the bed of the sea as on dry land, the water forming a wall on each side. And the passage through the sea, being delivered out of slavery on their way to the promised land, is a wonderful symbol of baptism. The waters of baptism as they pass through the water of the Red Sea, cleansing the soul from original sin, cleansing original sin from the soul, and leading us into the church, members of the church, and the life of grace that the church offers. Baptism is perhaps the most poignant symbol or mystery symbolized. We also have, of course, the Exultet that is sung. We have the baptismal promises and the blessing with the Easter water, the remaining half of the litany, and then the Mass. And what a joy to hear the Alleluia sung for the first time in over 2 months, reminding us of the joy of our faith, the joy that we should always have. And why should we have this joy? Because we know that we possess the true faith. We have been gifted with the gift of faith. And what joy that should cause. What joy should come to our hearts as we celebrate the beautiful Easter season. Think about the apostles. Their joy at the resurrection of our Lord was great because their sorrow was so great. When our Lord was crucified, when he died on the cross, they thought everything was over. They had so much reverence for him, so much love for him. And now it seemed to them that it was all over. What were they going to do? We can just imagine how depressed, how sad, how forlorn they were during that time from his crucifixion throughout Holy Saturday until his resurrection, and he appeared to them on the evening of his resurrection. And what joy was theirs, realizing that he had risen from the dead, truly risen, as he said. This joy is a particular mark of the true disciples of our Lord, members of his church, true Christians, followers of our Lord. Throughout the vicissitudes of life and the sorrows and the trials of life, we should have a great deal of joy. This reminds me of what St. Luke says in the 10th chapter of his gospel. He tells about the time when our Lord chose 72 disciples. Now, our Lord had even more than that, because at Pentecost, there were 120 persons in the upper room. The apostles, many disciples, our Blessed Mother, etc. But our Lord chose 72 disciples and sent them two by two into every city and place where he himself was about to come. And he gave them the power to drive out devils. And he said, if you tread on scorpions, it shall not hurt you, etc. And after they visited these different towns, they returned to our Lord and they were filled with joy. It says, now the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. And our Lord said, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice rather in this, that your names are written in heaven. What a wonderful thought. Our names are likewise written in the book of life. And they will remain indelibly there unless we, through our own fault, blot them out by a mortal sin. This idea, this concept of the book of life, in which are written the names of the elect, occurs a number of times in Scripture. But listen to this one time, St. Paul to the Philippians. In his last chapter, he is concluding, giving various greetings, etc. I entreat Evodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord, and I beseech thee also, my loyal comrade, help them, for they have toiled with me in the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. The book of life is mentioned seven times as well in the Apocalypse by St. John. But their names are written in the book of life, and ours are as well. And so we must rejoice. We rejoice on this wonderful feast of the resurrection. We rejoice in the gifts of grace that God has given to us. And let us rejoice that our names are written in the book of life. Let us not be so foolish as to do anything which would delete our names from that precious roll on which are written the elect, who will be with God forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.